This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda, senior market analyst in Singapore, Kelvin Wong. How are you doing, Kelvin?
Good morning to you and good afternoon on my end. Not too bad. Very, very interesting and volatile movements on an intraday basis on the global markets as we are speaking right now.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to watch the news over the weekend with a new prime minister in Japan and a historic moment because it is Japan's first ever female prime minister. Markets seem to like her so far. There are various reasons for that. They have actually reacted positively, haven't they?
Yes, for the Japanese stock market side of the things. Because Takaji, which she won the LDP leadership vote over the weekend, and very likelihood the Diet, which is the Japanese parliament, the lower house, will likely approve her as the new Japanese PM in the coming weeks. So based on her past few weeks of campaign messages and based on her previous rhetoric in terms of boosting Japanese growth, she actually favored more of a much more liberal fiscal expansionary policy away from the previous Japanese prime minister, who actually wanted to rein in the budget deficit of the Japanese government. So this time around, the markets favored very positively in terms of the Japanese stock market. So the Nikkei is up today by almost, give me a quick minute, by almost 2%. So in fact, not 2%, in fact, it gapped all the way up to, it closed the Asia session at 4.75%. So that is actually the best daily gain so far in the last 5 years or so. So what we could see now is that fresh all-time high in the Nikkei 225. And what's interesting over here is more from the FX market point of story is that, number one, because what we are seeing right now is that she tends to be a much more physical expansionary holder, where she favors more of a cut in consumer taxes to boost GDP growth by physical expansionary policy. So that actually led to a spike up in the longer term JGB yield. Let's say the 30 year managed to spike up to levels not seen in the last, 30 to 40 years. And interestingly, even the 2 year JGB yield, the shorter end of the tenure that is much more reactive to Bank of Japan monetary policy guidance, fell a fair bit today, down by 3 basis points only to 0.91%, but that's still close to about decades plus of high. So the reason interesting right now over here is that we may see a push down in the 2 year JGB yield that also fueled what I call a sell-off in the yen against the dollar. So today the yen actually sold off against the USD by falling almost 2%, down by 2% the yen against the Japan, the yen against the US dollar. So the reason why the yen is so weak in today's Asia session is because due to the fact that previously, Takaji mentioned in her public speeches that she is more of a Abe kind of the former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. She's a prodigy of him. So basically advocating for very, very easy Bank of Japan monetary policy. So she did mention publicly previously in the past, stating that she's not in favor of Bank of Japan to continue its gradual interest rate hike, and that potentially sparked a bit of fear that going forward, the future Japanese government under her leadership may actually face a lot of opposite view with the Bank of Japan, who very, very clearly since 2 years ago, they have really kickstarted their policy normalization phase, that means exiting out from negative interest rate, unwind all that 5 years or 7 years plus of ultra monetary policy easing stances, and even some of their creative monetary policy easing, like by buying huge amount of ETFs in the Japanese stock market. So all that has been put in place to unwind that and gradually increase interest rate in Japan on a very slow and steady basis. But with this fear coming into the picture, that actually causes the yen to actually weaken dramatically against the US dollar today. But right now it's kind of testing a key medium term resistance level for the dollar yen at around 150 1530 level, and we got to see how the market react by the close of the US session. Bear in mind that over here is that the dollar also is strengthening against one of the key European currency, which is the euro.
Let's switch topics for a moment, Kelvin, and look at oil, because the oil price is up at the moment, and that has a lot to do with the OPEC Plus meeting over the weekend.
Yes, precisely. So if you are speaking right now, oil price is under, back up to $62 per barrel, back to this level again after having fears that it may break below the $60 per barrel over last Friday, given that previously there was some reports stating out from some media highlights stating that OPEC Plus initially intention was to increase the November production hike by a significant amount of 500k barrels per day. But the real outcome by the end of Sunday, OPEC Plus members decided to actually tone down this much more aggressive expansionary production hike plans to maintain its previous pace of cuts by just doing a modest incremental increase of additional 137k barrels per day for the month of November. So that is very similar with the same numbers of barrels added per day in the October production hike. So that, if that dust has really been settled over here, so that actually create, I suspect, is due to a lot of short-term speculator short covering that they have their position over, that left their position over the weekend, and hence we see this kind of a very erratic push-up in today's Asia session on this WTI crude oil price futures over here. But what's interesting over here is that so far, yes, we start to see a spike up in this West Texas crude oil, but nevertheless, it is still below a key short-term resistance zone at $62.60, $63.30, $62.60, $63.30 US dollar per barrel. And that is also the 20-day moving average that is capping it as a resistance since last Monday, which is 29th of September. So market participants are still not so aggressively bidding oil prices up at this juncture, given that they are it is still holding below a key short-term resistance level, and we're going to see how the movement plays out. Not forgetting that over here is that oil prices may still be remains on the weaker side of the things, given the fact that we potentially starts to see a kind of a slowdown in US GDP growth as well, given that the ISM services PMI data that was out on Friday for the month of September came in below expectation and is now inching very closely to that make or break 50 level.
Okay, let's look to the week ahead, Kelvin, and I suppose the biggest story potentially will be the speech from Jay Powell, which is later in the week.
So that will be on the 9th of October. So Jay Powell, he was speaking publicly. So market participants will be very attuned to the current state of the U.S. Employment situation, and given the fact that last Friday we did not have the release of the non-farm payroll data due to this ongoing government shutdown. So, but however, we do have a slew of private survey data that was out last week. One of them will be the ISM services PMI data, which is rather lackluster, came in below expectation, and is now hovering very dangerously at the 50 level. And if you look at the last few months, the rate of growth in the services activity as measured by the ISM services PMI data for US is deteriorating. So market participants will be opening up their ears to hear very closely of Fed Chair Powell's speech, where he starts to mentioning such deterioration in privately surveyed, we call it a key US economic data. And if he does mention that over here, that could increase the so-called the number of the number of Fed rate cut bets that is currently being priced in at a high probability for the October meeting, and as well as the December meeting, both having a probability of more than 80%.
And finally, we're going to get some data in on Friday, I think it is, with the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment, Calvin.
Yes. So on Friday, we will have the preliminary flash reading of the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment for the month of October. And this data is now primarily very important. Why? Given the fact that other government compiled data will be pretty much delayed until the US government reopens. So market participants now will be relying on privately organization/ survey data to have a gauge on the health of the US economy. And the University of Michigan consumer sentiment data is not that rosy in the last 3 to 6 months, if you put it as a trend. So previous month, it came in at 55.1 for the month of September. And this time around, market participants is doing a downward revision to it to 54.6. So any numbers that came in below 54.6 will indicate a rather lackluster consumer sentiment in the US economy. And that could also prompt the Fed to be skewing towards more of the dovish side of the camp rather than having a kind of a wait and see approach to decide on their next interest rate cuts down the road.
Excellent. Calvin, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you very soon.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.